Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Game started with some Murph ball. It ended with the long ball. It got crazy in between. I think the Brewers knew they had this one in the bag. Never a doubt. Never. Always. All good. No context at all. It was a blowout. Context, we'll get into that. But nonetheless, the most important thing about today's game is the offense arrived. They had won the previous three games in this road trip. You know, they're 3-1 on this trip coming into today, not having scored more than three runs in any of the wins. And today, what do? They explode for 15 runs, including a 7-run second inning as the Brewers were up 13-0 at one point, end up winning 15-8, which again does not tell the whole story because it got close, but it really wasn't that close. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us too. I mean, Augie, I don't want to overreact to the stuff in the later stages of the game because there's too much good to talk about and react to from the beginning of the game. For me, the performances from the top half of the order just set the tone. Willy Adames, a two-homer game. Garrett Mitchell reaching base five times. William Contreras joined the party late, but he still scored three runs, had a key walk in the big second inning. Churio continued to scald the baseball. Turang got on base a couple of times and stole a bag. When those five guys, I mean, that's 1-5 potentially in a playoff series. I mean, you're not going to get multi-hits from all five of those guys in a playoff series, but nonetheless, this is the vision. This is like, oh, the offense can be clicking in a variety of ways, with walks, with stolen bases, with putting the ball in play, and with the long ball.
Well, last time we talked about this batting order, well, what was Murph going to do? They're in a rut, not swinging the bat very well, not scoring runs. And it looked like he kind of went back to a little remedy that he had early in the season by putting Turang leading off and then Churio to Contreras and going to Adames from there. But I thought the tone was sent right in the first inning of the game that this was going to be a decent night. First of all, we score a run without getting a hit in the first inning. Turang walks and says, oh, we did get a base hit, but we were able to score in the first. Then what happens? Sal makes that great catch on the leadoff hitter. I just thought the tone was set right there. And then the second inning with two outs, it all broke loose. It's just a great night for the Brewers offense. You know, we talk about this club and where their success is, patience at the plate. I think it's also a good phrase that they can use is controlling the strike zone. And I thought tonight they control the strike zone, hit the ball where it was pitched, was aggressive at the plate when they had to be, and really did a great job.
When you look at the second inning and that two-out rally, it was the two-out rally of two-out rallies. Nobody on and two outs. And out of nowhere, single from Sal Freer. Like, okay, yeah, innocent enough, just pokes it the other way. Joey Ortiz adds a single. Okay, yeah, good job. You know, classic hit-and-run style there, going to the opposite field. So now you've got runners on the corners. It's still two outs, and it's still just a 1-0 game at this point. Then Bryce Turang, an RBI single, just right back up the middle. All right, good job. So you got runners on first and second with two outs. You got to run home when you shouldn't have had a run at all. Okay, good job. Okay, Jackson Churio, he scalds a base hit. That brings home another run. Now it's 3-0, and Turang had some great base running. He goes first to third. Men on the corners and two outs. And we'll talk about what eventually happened, but man, the walk by William Contreras, mind you, he took a massive swing on the first pitch. He knew he was getting a heater on the first pitch, and he fouled it off. Then he took the next four consecutive pitches, trying to get him to nibble off the outside corner and chase a slider. He did not do that. And talking to what you're talking about, Augie, when you're not swinging at pitchers' pitches, that's when, I hate to say it, but every pitcher knows the feeling, right, Augie? Where it's like, oh, man, I feel naked out here. He is not swinging at these pitches. I'm in danger of this becoming a massive inning because he just couldn't get that third out.
Yeah, you know, you took that massive swing that first pitch. You say, well, boy, I can expand the strike zone. But this ball club, I think if you really look at that second inning, that seven-run second inning might be the best two-out rally that they've had all year. With the way the rally went, the good at-bats, hitting the ball off fields, Contreras getting the walk, the grand slam, everything that you look in that inning might have been one of the best that they had all year, with their patience at the plate, controlling the strike zone, doing what you have to do, hitting the ball the opposite way, taking with the ball, hitting the pitch where it's given. I just thought that inning right there was a sign that, hey, you know what? This ball club is starting to come around. They're starting to swing the bat. They're starting to be more patient. And I'll tell you what a great inning they had to score the seven runs in the second inning.
And then to follow up the Contreras walk, maybe one of the best at-bats of his career, Garrett Mitchell. He fell behind 1-2, and at this point, it's gravy, right? You've already scored two runs in the inning on a rally out of nowhere with two outs, but now you got the bases loaded, and you're trying to get greedy. Garrett's 0-for-5 with the bases loaded going into that at-bat, with one walk, though, and he falls behind 1-2, takes a couple of tight pitches, fouls off a good pitch, and what has been his kryptonite his entire career, the elevated fastball, he didn't chase it. And I rarely see Garrett show emotion. He's pretty stoic out there. He looked to his dugout and was fired up about that. That made it three runs scored in the inning out of nowhere, and then we all know how the inning ended. The grand slam by Willy Adames, his fifth career grand slam, his first this year, the Brewers' ninth of the year. Let's start with Garrett's at-bat there. This is a guy that is hitting the cleanup spot today. All four of the quote-unquote young outfielders played today. You had Churio in left, you had Perkins in center, Frelick in right, and Garrett DHing in the cleanup spot. Well, my oh my, you get on base five times, you're going to get another chance at that spot, and great at-bats like that are going to help him continue his confidence in these final 2 weeks.
Yeah, you really have to like what Murph did. I think what Murph is trying to do is letting him allow to be himself a little bit. You know, you talk about a young player out there trying to do the best you can. I think at times he has a tendency to try to do too much, try to go out there and be overly aggressive. It just looks like the last several games he's been a little bit more patient. We talk about controlling the strike zone and all those things, but been a little bit patience and really hitting the ball where it's pitching. I thought that at bat right there really exemplified that, how far he's come as a young hitter, being patient at the plate. That is a extremely tough thing to do when you got the abilities to swing the bat well, but yet you go after certain pitches to lay off that high fastball like he did. I thought that was a special time, and then to hit the home run the opposite way. He really swung the bat really well tonight, and he's been swinging the bat good the last several days.
He's been fantastic. By the way, in the second half for Garrett Mitchell, including tonight, 47 games, he's hitting .270. His OPS is .828. Tonight was his fifth homer. He's also got 10 doubles in there, too. And a reminder that Garrett is still so young in his career because of injuries. We just want to see him continue to play every day because it has looked really pretty so far. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. This one made me chuckle from the 608 area code here. Arizona finding out the Brewers are better this year, and the Brewers scored more runs than the Wisconsin Badgers did today. So sorry for the Badgers fans getting the double down here as well. Offensive explosion, so fun to see them have great at-bats. Yelly was awesome in the booth. In case you missed it, he was over on the television side for a few innings with our friends Brian Anderson and Tim Dillard. We'll effort him on a podcast maybe next spring training, and we'll get to some more text here as well. 855-616-1620. Brewers win. There's a lot to break down from this one. We'll talk a little bit more about Willie after this. Brewers win 15-8. The magic number is 3. Cubs loss in a walk-off to the Rockies earlier tonight. So it's all but certain it's going to happen on this homestand. Have you got your tickets yet? Make sure you go to Brewers.com to get your tickets now. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 15-8. Tobias Myers pitched well. More on him later, but more about the offense today, because when you score 15 runs, Augie, That's what we're going to talk about. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Member FDIC. Let's talk more specifically about Willie. And I said at the very beginning of the season, all the folks worried about the trade rumors and everything like that. Then we had the moment in May where I had to go on a rant about, hey, enjoy it. And here we are again with 2 weeks left. Let's just enjoy it. And he knows it. You know it. What's coming here in the offseason? The dude's going to get paid. All right? Let's be happy for him. But what I said all offseason long, Augie, is that I would not trade Willie Adames because two things are afoot here. Yes, we know it's a free agent year. And generally in free agent years, you're going to play a pretty darn good year. And if Willie's going to have a good year, the Brewers are going to have a good year. And lo and behold, he's got 32 home runs, surpassing his mark from 2022. He's got a .253 batting average, one of the best of his career. He's now leading the National League in RBIs. Let me say that again. Willie Adames, the starting shortstop for the Milwaukee Brewers, is leading the National League with 107 runs batted in. And here he is, 3-for-3 today, a two-homer game, also drew a walk. He was not retired. Holy cow. I'm going to miss him. I know he's probably out the door, but man, I'm going to enjoy these final two-plus weeks of watching Willie Adames in a Brewers uniform.
I'm going to give you three letters. MVP. He's got to be in consideration, high consideration for being the MVP. Here's a guy who plays every day, plays a tough position at shortstop. Like you said, he's got 32 home runs. He leads the league in RBIs. He's hitting over 300 with runners in scoring position. He also leads the league in three-run homers. The guy, what he has meant to this ball club, as well as this ball club is playing, he has to be in serious contention for MVP this year.
I like the talk. I like the thought of that. You know, we use advanced numbers all the time. We talk about what it matters. Now, if Shohei Ohtani, as he's on pace to do so, completes the 50-50 season. I mean, he's got it now. I mean, Shohei Ohtani's MVP. I am not going to listen to any argument from a Mets fan of my mentions about Francisco Lindor. Lindor's had a great season. He hasn't even had the best season as a shortstop in baseball. That's probably Bobby Witt Jr. And honestly, when you look at Willie versus Lindor, Lindor has the edge in a lot of categories. But they're different type players, okay? When you look at war, when you look at defense, Willie's defense is what's pulling him back from maybe being higher up on some of these war leaderboards because it's been such an odd year for him defensively. And being an MVP means both sides of the baseball. And we've said this for a long time now, Augie. I'm intrigued to see with the voting for MVP because the way it works, the Baseball Writers Association of America, the National League writers vote on, and they're already been assigned of what they're doing, so they're keeping an eye on that sort of thing. But they vote 10 down the list, and also they do voting at the end of the regular season. So playoffs have no impact on a player's MVP candidacy. You vote for 10 players, okay, and then obviously you tally up the points based on how many votes you got by first, second, third, fourth, whatever, and that determines your MVP ballot. I've been wondering for weeks now, how many different Brewers are going to get MVP down ballot votes? We're not going to have a Brewer MVP this year, but how many will William get? How many will Adames get? How many will Jackson Churio get? And the fact that the Brewers can sit here and say they probably have three down ballot MVPs and a top three Rookie of the Year in Churio and a down ballot Rookie of the Year in Tobias Myers, it's no surprise that they're now three games away or three magic number away from winning the Central, being the first team to clinch a playoff spot this year.
They're playing so well, and you talk about having key guys coming in and doing a job. You look at a guy like Tobias Myers stepping up. What has he meant to this ball club in this starting rotation for the year? When you see him early in the season struggle, go down, come back up, and what he's meant to this ball club is just amazing. You talk about Churio. Churio might be one of the best hitters in all of baseball right now. Tonight, you look at what he was tonight. He was 2-for-6. He drew a walk. But even when he made out, he hit the ball hard, had good at-bats, and then you take the years that Contreras had. We leaned on Contreras the first half of the season. He was our offense. He was that key guy in the lineup that really kept this club going. And I'm going to tell you what, I think when you look at the way Adames has played all year, he's been the model of consistency. Coming up, hitting with 300 with runners in scoring position and the place he is pretty, that's a pretty special statistic. And they hit the 32 runs, lead the league in home runs, lead the league in RBIs. That's pretty special when you play shortstop and you play every day. I understand Ohtani is having an awesome year and he's doing everything magical, but I'll tell you, Ohtani's the DH. Adames has played every day.
Yeah, well, so is Ohtani. Like I said, Augie, I'm not going to let you walk down a rabbit hole. And look, Ohtani's the MVP. I'm not even going to entertain any thoughts that Ohtani isn't. As a guy that's about to break a glass ceiling that we didn't even know existed of 50 and 50, which, oh, by the way, he's doing Tommy John rehab on the side and he might close a game in the postseason. That's wild. But again, it's not a diss. It's not a bad thing if Willie. That means there are writers and people who watch this game every day feel that Adames is one of the 10 best players in the National League by getting down ballot votes. That's a compliment. That's a good thing. And for a guy that's entering his free agent year and to have 32 home runs at the shortstop position, right? Lindor's got 31 of them. He's leading shortstops. Got 106 RBIs. We've talked about 107 RBIs. I beg your pardon. So he's got a career high in homers now, career high in RBIs. The batting average isn't the highest it's ever been, but the on base is really good. It's just a few ticks off what it was in 2021. Slugging is a few ticks off what it was in 2021. I mean, you're right. It's an MVP candidate. He's not going to be a number one vote, I think, for on anyone's ballot. But nonetheless, there's nothing to sniff at with what Willie has done this year, aside from maybe the defense. But, man, I'm sitting here smiling because he knows it. The Brewers know it. This dude is enjoying this year. It has been special. And, man, it's just another memory of 2021, right, Augie, when he walked through those doors. And people are like, what? I mean, this team's a game under 500. They had Arcia. What's the big idea? This guy strikes out a ton. He's hitting 200 in Tampa Bay. And to be where he is now 3 years later, I just tip my cap to Matt Arnold, and even then it was David Stearns. So to 3.5 years later, man, this is quite the run in a Milwaukee Brewer jersey.
Yeah, you have to like what he's done offensively and the way he plays each and every day and the way he plays the game, smiling when he's on the field. He's always talking to somebody, enjoying the game. But I think when you look at a guy like Willie Adames, it's not just what he does on the field. It's what he does off the field also. The way he's a good team leader and the way he talks to all the players and how he entertains himself being with his teammates and how they enjoy him. Good, rounded person. If there's an MVP on this ball club, boy, I tell you what, Contreras has had a heck of a year, but Willie, he's been pretty special. And Ohtani's gone. He's done his special things. He's a special player that not too many ball players will ever pass any of those things that he's doing this year. But Adames has put in a good year, and I hope he gets recognized for it.
I really do think he will. That was an epic day from him. Now, we do got to talk about Tobias Myers, and we'll talk about what went down in the seventh and the eighth inning and maybe our takes of all that when it got a little bit of a skip your beat there for a second, but the Brewers nonetheless won. They never trailed in this game. They were up 13-0. They won 15-8. The second unit didn't have its best day, but it's okay. It's a dub. That's all that matters, and the Brewers get the victory. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 15-8. Tobias Myers earns another victory for the crew. We'll break that one down here in this segment. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us, too. A couple of texts that have rolled in here as well. This one from Jerry in the Dells. All season, when it looked like a rough patch was inevitable, the slide never materialized. Relentless. Are we still the only team without a four-game losing streak? That is correct, by the way, Jerry. The future looks bright. I'm looking forward to seeing how this wonderful journey unfolds. So much fun. I agree. It's been a lot of fun, Jerry. This one from the 414. So you can't pitch Tobias game one, right? And let's talk about that, because Tobias now on the season, mind you, he had a bad month of April in his first few starts as a big leaguer when, quite frankly, he was over his skis in those first few starts, right, Augie? But his season ERA is now 3.07. Again, hiding those couple of clunkers he had in April and early May. He's got 8 wins, and the win is kind of dead these days, but it still matters to some of these guys. And furthermore, he's got 126 innings on a guy that, quite frankly, 126 innings and 23 starts on a guy that was probably number maybe 12 or 13 on the starting pitching depth chart at the start of the year. And now we're talking about him starting game one of a playoff series, Augie. What an incredible story for Tobias.
It is. He's a great story. And the way he's been throwing the ball, he's pretty almost worthy of starting that first game. You know, you take a young pitcher and you're trying to accomplish what he has gone out each and every time. I'll tell you what, when he went out that first inning, he really threw the ball well. He got that ball up to Carroll and he made a good swing on it. And we had the great play by Sal. But other than that, he really threw the ball efficiently. And then the second inning, when the Brewers scored all those runs, it's one of the toughest things in baseball to go out there and maintain yourself, maintain a good positive attitude and pitch your game, and at the same time get something accomplished. I think the one thing that I really appreciated by the way he pitched today, he went out and pitched his game. He pitched his game like it was 1-0. He worked on the things that he needed to work on. He used his fastball and his breaking ball. He used both sides of the plate like he was. And I thought he really threw the ball very well. Yeah, later in the game, things got away from him a little bit and made a couple mistakes. But when he needed to, when they had the big lead, he had to give the team innings. He had to go deeper in the game. I thought he went out there and he pitched his game. The game that he is successful at, I thought he threw the ball very well. And I'll tell you what, when you're looking at the postseason, and you're looking at the way he's throwing the ball very well, he's got to get some pretty good consideration on being used in a prominent role.
He didn't even get a ton of swing and miss today coming off of the 11 strikeouts he had against the Rockies. He had 3 strikeouts today, and he was rolling. He was at 88 pitches through 6 innings. He had a 7-pitch inning when everything was breaking loose for the Brewers and all the runs they were scoring, and he was just stabilizing things. And I think that's sort of it's more than a compliment because it's harder than it may seem to stay focused when you're looking up at the scoreboard and you see 13-0. That's not an excuse for giving up a couple of runs or anything like that, but I'm just saying it's like it's a weird scenario that, quite frankly, a lot of pitchers, of course, don't get me wrong, they all want to pitch with run support. But when the game gets that out of hand, there's an edge that suddenly is lost, and I'm not trying to make excuses here or create something here, but what we saw in the 6th and 7th inning from Tobias kind of showed me, like, okay, hey, it's 13-0, no big deal, you'll be fine. So in the 6th inning, when we saw that little lapse happen in the 6th inning, all right, you know what, 88 pitches, you've got Hobie, you've got Anoli, that should probably be it. I was very surprised to see him come back out for the 7th inning. He didn't record an out in the 7th inning, gave up a few more hits and a couple more runs, and then we all saw what happened in the next 2 frames. Were you surprised at all? Am I on to something here about kind of how hard it is to stay focused when you're up 13-0?
It is. It's definitely a tough situation to be in as a pitcher because you're out, you're getting ready for the game, you're getting keyed up, and you go through that first inning, you got a 1-0 lead, you made a mistake, or you had a great play behind you, but you go back and you pitch your game. I think the one thing that like I said earlier, I like the way he went about his job from the first inning on. He just went out there and he pitched. But it seemed like that once they scored the 8 runs or the 7 runs, and they were up 8-0. I'll tell you what, he went out there and pitched his game, but he pitched to contact. He didn't get a lot of strikeouts today. He didn't do a lot of swings and misses that he usually gets. He made good pitches of the pitches that he feels confident in, what he needs to work on to pitch the strike zone, to expand the strike zone. He did that, and he pitched to contact. That's pretty special when you can do that, stay within your game, and still go out and pitch the contact and make good things happen. He did that. He made some mistakes later in the game, got the ball over the middle plate. Those things do happen as you go along. But I thought for the main part of the game, I thought he threw the ball extremely well. He did something that he needed to do and pitched the contact, but yet got his good work in and was able to use his pitches in good situations.
So looking at the schedule here for the Brewers, we talked about it with Frankie Montas on Thursday night and how as it lines up now, assuming as the Brewers roll through this six-man rotation through the rest of this 13-in-a-row stretch with D.L. Hall getting a start tomorrow, that would one lead to one presume that Tobias Myers' next start would be next Friday against these Diamondbacks again, and then you would also presume his final start of the regular season would be on Thursday the 26th in Pittsburgh, where it all began, starting that finale. That, assuming he starts that game that Thursday on normal rest, that would put him on normal rest for game one of a wild card series. And again, if you've missed it, we're always planning for the wild card series until something changes, okay? If something crazy changes, it's easy to just rearrange. But you got to be ready for that game one on October 1. So you'll have Frankie on normal rest. You'll have Tobias on normal rest. And we've talked about how Freddie could pitch that last day of the regular season. I doubt he would, so he would have extra rest leading into October 1st. With all these guys having two or three starts remaining, I think what it sounds like to me is that Tobias Myers might be the game one starter for the Brewers in the postseason. Because quite frankly, for me, I want to put him later. I want to put him game two because he's been my stopper, right? I like the thought of Frankie in game one, Tobias in game two, and Freddie in game three. That's my thought. It could change between now and then, but it literally will change probably daily. But here on September 14th, that's when we roll with Frankie, Tobias, Freddie.
Isn't that a great position to be in? What these guys have gone out. Freddie Peralta's been your number one guy all year, still throwing the ball well. Colin Ray, we've all known what he's done all year. But to have guys like Tobias Myers, Trevelli, and Montas. And look out, tomorrow, a lot depends. What if you go out, D.L. Hall goes out and has just an extremely good game. Boy, that puts you in a place where you have six guys in which you can make a decision for to pitch in the playoffs. But I kind of agree with you. I think I like what Tobias Myers is to this ball club. He can pitch either start the first game. I think when it depends on it. I'm still a big Freddy Peralta guy in the first game. He's been my leader throughout the year. I go with my leader. But I'll tell you what, to have the guys like Myers and Savali, Montas, we'll see how D.L. Hall does tomorrow, that's really an interesting area to be. And I still think you have to think about Colin Ray.
I do. I agree with that as well. And that's what these last few starts are to really make you feel like, what's the body of work and what's the immediate impact right now? Jerry Augustine, appreciate you as always. We're going to talk to you a lot this next coming week and potentially with a clinching scenario on our hands. Augie, appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Boy, I got a chance to when we started, it was what we are, 8 or 10, we're down to 3. It's an exciting time. Anytime you get in September, baseball changes. It just, the way the game is played is so exciting. Brewers have an opportunity to do something pretty special tomorrow. It'll be fun to watch DL pitch. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is going to be great. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Let's talk about the 7th and 8th inning. It wasn't fun, but let's not overreact. That's up next on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers get the win. They've won the series. They've guaranteed a winning road trip. Fun West Coast trip. 15-8, the final today. I'm Dominic Catronio, rolling on here for another 25 minutes or so here live on WTMJ. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They offer 5% off service for veterans and seniors all year long. Make sure you mention this offer, though, when you're scheduling your appointment. You can go to cider.com today. That's SEIDER.com. Families helping families since 1912. All right, let's talk about the elephant in the room. What the heck went wrong in the 7th and 8th innings? Okay, the 7th inning, Tobias, we talked about it, keeping the edge when you're up 13-2. I would have taken Tobias out there knowing you could get multiple innings out of both Hobie and Enoli, and even maybe an inning out of Ellis Piguero if you needed it, okay? So the thought of it was, obviously you're giving a day for McGill and Devin, and quite frankly, Devin and McGill and Pyops, those guys might be down tomorrow too because you want to have them available against the Phillies. So keep that in mind as you watch tomorrow's game. But you knew you had three guys that you definitely had available to pitch. Two of them had to pitch, in Hobie and Enoli. And to send Tobias back out there after 88 pitches was odd, but hey, he didn't execute. He got hit around. He gave up three hits, and see you later. Then nothing happened the rest of the frame for Hobie Milner. Like, okay, all right. 1-2-3 for Hobie in the seventh. Came in, extinguished the fire. No big deal, right? Then in the eighth inning, the bad luck Hobie stuff happened again. And I can hear you saying, Dom, it's not just bad luck. Okay, go look at those exit velos. Go look at where those balls are hit. And Andrew Monasterio, I feel for you, bro. You don't get to play a lot, but quite frankly, again, we've said this before, we'll say it again. It's a performance-based business. He misplayed three balls that, quite frankly, forced not only Hobie to throw more pitches, but forced Enoli to throw more pitches because he had to come in and clean up the mess. And I tweeted the exit velos, okay? This isn't entirely on Hobie, that inning. I know he doesn't get swing and miss, but that's his game. And it's tough when you're facing the bench now, too. Things get a little weird. Here are the exit velos in the eighth inning against Hobie Milner. First batter, Jose Herrera, he grounded out as a pinch hitter. Okay, 60 miles an hour off the bat. Josh Bell, bloop single, whatever. 76 off the bat. Okay, no big deal. Then you get a ground ball to third. Monasterio bobbles it in what should have been an inning-ending double play. Instead, it's a bobble. It's a fielder's choice. Nobody's out. He doesn't get an out. So there's one out and runners on first and second. It did go down as an E5 with that fielder's choice. Pavin Smith dumps a single into center field. Okay, whatever. 75 off the bat. What are you going to do about that? It was just a little stoink. Run scores. You're up 13-3. No big deal. But you still got the advantage of getting a ground ball, and you can probably get out of the inning. Then they go to Enoli Paredes because, like, all right, well, we got to switch things up. Randall Grichuk is the batter. Grichuk hits an RBI single that was hit hard, but it was a one hop. It took a higher hop than Andrew expected. It gets over his head. He misses it with the glove, and it goes down the line for an RBI single. Then Adrian Del Castillo, this is the one that really stings. He pops up into shallow left. Isaac Collins, a new outfielder, he didn't charge in and call it. Long way to run for Ortiz. He was playing toward the middle with a lefty up. So Monasterio or Collins has to grab that ball, and neither one did. So it goes down as a single. Another run comes in to score. Then the double by Perdomo. Had you holding your breath for a half second, you're like, oh my gosh, they hit a grand slam. This is a four-run game. So it'd be easy, and the Twitter mob is going to blame Hobie for this one. Like when you go down and sit down and watch that one, it's like, okay, he got ground balls, he got weak contact. What more do you want? His defense failed behind him. And for folks wondering, what are you going to do with Hobie on the playoff roster? Quite frankly, he's probably not on the playoff roster. But you don't want to use all of your primary arms like we talked about. You really think they're going to throw Trevor McGill in that situation or Jared Koenig in that situation? Somebody has to throw those innings. It's not sexy work, but it's a hard-working job, man. And everyone in that bullpen and everyone in that front office knows how important it is to eat innings at this point of the season. And I thought Hobie pitched well enough to have a better result than what happened, especially for a guy that pitched really well in the blowout loss on Wednesday. I thought he pitched better than the line indicates today. He did not get any help from his defense. So I'm not going to overreact to that. You still need somebody to eat these innings at the end of the game if you have a blowout one way or the other. You've still got Brian Hudson in the stable, getting fresh, getting him ready to go for the most important games of the year, and those games are the Phillies and October. If you pick up what I'm putting down, okay? So let's not overreact. The Brewers got the dub. The magic number is 3. Good vibes only. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, and we'll also have plenty of highlights to relive coming up in a minute here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
It's a victory for the Crew. They improved to 86-62. With what is 14 games remaining, all they got to do is win 4 of these final 14 to have a 90-win season, just like everybody predicted at the beginning of the year. Man, it's getting real now, starting to plan your Octobers, as the Crew is sitting pretty as a likely to be the first team to clinch their division. Pat Murphy's in a good mood. He caught up with the media after the win.
Did you get tired of playing one-run games? I think so. I mean, it was great effort tonight. You know, we stayed on it. Credit to the Diamondbacks coming back, the way they swing the bat. And they got a, they got one of the best teams in baseball, and they're powerful lineup. And credit to Tobias for having a great, great outing. And it's tough to pitch sometimes when you're way ahead like that. Might not seem it, but if you've been in the game long enough, it's tough to pitch. And William did a great job with them. And offensively, we just, you know, we were pretty relentless. Scored all those seven runs with two outs, you know, and really played it. Really, you know, just played the pitch, you know, and that's the kind of thing that can happen.
Murph, the offense too. It was like two outs, like you said, but it was small ball until it wasn't.
right.
But just the way that offensively you guys box, running game, homers, put it all.
Yeah, you go to the body, boom, it opens up a shot to the head, you know. So it's like that's all part of pecking away and being relentless, you know. So that we did it from, you know, first hitter of the game. So that's what, and I think we took seven or eight walks, I'm sure. Seven or eight walks makes a difference. You know, puts more guys on base, more threat to run, all that kind of stuff. And, it's hard to beat that when you're giving up free bases.
What about Mitchell's at-bats tonight?
Yeah, it was good.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, he was good.
The second was pretty big, too.
Yeah. It's, he would have been tased after he got thrown out, but so it wouldn't have mattered, but we decided not to, and then he had really good at bats.
I think we're starting to see some of the upside with him. I mean, he's been healthy for 3 months now, and the numbers are
getting there.
Yeah.
He certainly is starting to get there. I mean, Williams' game, Willie's game, I mean, that was special. You know, Churio still continues. Terang and Ortiz are two of the most unsung players on the team. You know, they just come to play every day. And yeah, Sal's catch in the first inning. I mean, those young guys, they're playing their hearts out. Really proud of them.
Sal come out of that okay?
Yeah, I think he's banged up. You know, and we'll kind of monitor him and see where he's at tomorrow.
Are you feeling some daunt in the eighth inning?
No, not daunted. I tell you what I was feeling is that this Diamondbacks team is explosive. I mean, they can do a lot. We didn't play defense behind them, and we didn't make quality pitches. But we bounced back. That was a nice little Williams at bat, you know, kind of sealed it.
In that eighth, the Monasterio plays, what did you make of?
One of them would have been really, really difficult.
The hard grounder?
Yeah, the hard grounder would have been really difficult.
And that pop-up was that his ball?
Well, the way they were playing, because he was the closest to it, so yes, it could have been his ball. Ortiz was playing way, way up the middle and thought that he had a good, because Ortiz himself catches that ball all the time. And but Mona hadn't been out there much. She hadn't played third much, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a good player, and the ball kind of found him tonight, and he tried to go too quick on the one, and the other one, nobody makes that play. It's 100 plus line, one hop line drive, and then the pop up should have been caught. So, yeah.
Would hold the 3-run home run in San Felipe this season. Just how cool is it to kind of see get that grand slam just overall his performance?
Yeah, I mean, it's just great, man. Willie's a clutch performer. He plays every day. You know, we're watching Brewer history today, right? Like, the most homers for a shortstop, and he broke a guy's record. He's a Hall of Famer, so that's pretty special. Yeah. Or did he break his own record?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robin's a pretty special man and pretty special Hall of Famer and was a great player. But so Willie's doing monumental things.
Yeah, when you talk about Robin Yount, anything, period, point blank, you're doing something right. And Willie Adames broke his own record and Robin's record again. 31 home runs as a shortstop, Brewers record this year. So pretty good stuff. As far as like a primary position shortstop, I believe that record belongs to Coop. I'm going to confirm here in the break. But the Brewers get the win 15-8. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game two, Brewers and Diamondbacks. Brandon Pfaadt, who had the start in game one at last year's wild card round, up against Tobias Myers, one of the best rookie stories in all of baseball this year. We pick things up in the top of the first inning. The Brewers with some Murph ball. A leadoff walk for Terang. He stole second, got to third on a tag up, and then scored on a sacrifice fly. However, in the bottom of the first inning, this game was nearly a very different start if it wasn't for Sal Frelick.
1-0 pitch, a high drive out to right. Going back on it is Frelick at the wall. He jumped up, and did he catch it? Sal Frelick came down with it. Holy cow!
It was one of the catches of the year. He banged his head on the side stanchion of the pole out there. I mean, it was incredible. A home run robbery. Taking one away from Corbin Carroll in a 1-2-3 bottom of the first inning. Then everything would break loose in the second. With two outs, mind you. Nobody on and two outs. The Brewers got a single and a single. With two men on, top of the order, Terang.
A one offering. Is a soft liner into center. That's going to get down for a base hit. Frelick trots home. Stopping at second is Ortiz. It's an RBI single for Terang. And the Brewers lead it 2-0.
And how about two pitches later, Jackson Chourio.
Here's the 0-1. And a bouncing ball back up the middle into center field. Ortiz around third. He's headed for home. Terang on his way to third. The throw is late. And Jackson Chourio with an RBI single. It is 3-0 Milwaukee.
So the Brewers had men on the corners and still two outs. Then a walk to William Contreras. And then with the bases loaded, a key walk to Garrett Mitchell. So the Brewers have driven in another run, three runs, all with two outs, and the bases are loaded for that man, Willy Adames.
Pfaadt brings home the pitch. High fly ball left field. Racing back is Smith at the track, at the wall. It is gone! Break it open! Willy Adames! A grand slam! And the Brewers lead it 8-0.
A seven-run inning, all with two outs there in the second. Things escalated quickly. And at this point of the highlight segment, the only way I play your highlight is if you hit a homer. Oh, good thing we still got three more homers to play. How about Garrett Mitchell in the fourth?
To put this in perspective, the Brewers had 10 runs the whole trip coming into the day. Mitchell flies one deep in the left center field. This is way back. Pavin Smith at the wall. That ball gets up and out. It's gone for Garrett Mitchell. Opposite field, two-run home run for Garrett. How about 11 runs?
No, they still weren't done. Josh Mauer's call there. And not only that, Willie wasn't done. The very next batter.
I remember because I said that about 90 minutes ago. Fly ball into right field. This is back for Corbin Carroll onto the track. Carroll's at the wall. See you later. Two home runs in a matter of minutes for Willy Adames. And the Brewers have gone back to back.
Now, some stuff happened between this point and the end of the game. But, hey, that's nothing. The Brewers were up 13-0 at one point. Now they're up 13-8 in the ninth inning. William Contreras calms things down.
Things can change fast in this game, as anybody that's followed it knows. 3-2 pitch, fly ball, deep right field. Going back is Grichuk at the track. It is gone. William Contreras with an exclamation mark.
What a moment for the Brewers. 15 runs, one shy of their season high. Get this. They had as many homers as they had strikeouts tonight. Four homers, four strikeouts as an offense. A banner day for the Brew Crew, and the magic number falls to 3. We'll wrap up the program with the upcoming schedule and a quick peek at the out-of-town scoreboard after this on 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world. Last couple minutes here of the show. Brewers' magic number is 3. They'll try to make it 2 or better tomorrow. First pitch is scheduled for 3:10 here on 620 WTMJ. Our coverage, though, will begin at 2 o'clock. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up. Then the Brewers are back home, taking on the Phillies and these Diamondbacks once again for a 7-game homestand, and the Brewers are virtually certain to guarantee their division title here at home, and that's how it should be, right? And we'll have a full show extravaganza the night they do clinch. I won't miss a single game on this homestand, so I'm fired up for that and excited to bring all that to you here on WTMJ. So all the games against the Phillies are at 6:40 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we've got post games after every one of those games. Then it's a 6:15 start on Thursday against the D-backs, a 6:40 first pitch on Friday, and then back to 6:15 Thursday against D-backs, 7:10 Friday, 6:10 Saturday, and then 1:10 Sunday for this upcoming homestand. Again, we mentioned the Cubs losing to the Rockies in walk-off fashion. The Phillies, they beat the Mets today, so no gained ground on the number one seed. The Dodgers lost to the Braves again, so they're 87-61. The Brewers improved to 86-62, but they're really two games back of L.A. because of the tiebreaker. Don't lose sight of San Diego, though. San Diego's now only 3.5 back of the Dodgers. They shut out the Giants 8-0. Oh, by the way, San Diego has a tiebreaker on L.A. and the Brewers. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Cannot wait. Zach Gallen will get the ball for the Diamondbacks against D.L. Hall back into the rotation for the Brewers. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.